Hey everyone, this episode you're listening to now is an edited montage of the times Ruben and I talked to Georgia about the Clone Wars on our old show, Media MD. You've probably heard us reference this appearance in our other High Ground episodes, and a big part of that is because it was during recording this episode that we found out Ruben hadn't seen the prequels, so that was what led to the idea for the High Ground. So with that in mind, hopefully you enjoy our own prequel story, I guess.
So what are we talking about next fortnight, Elliot?
Yes, well, we've got a special guest, next fortnight. So,
oh yeah, I was wondering who that was.
Yeah, let me just, unmute her microphone.
Welcome to the
Hello.
Show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming on. Fans of the Doof Media Network may recognize Georgia from times when her and Elliot and their other sibling, Hannah, go around with usually swords and bows and stuff and go on wacky adventures together. In video games, not in real life, I should point out.
Only obscure video games, though. We don't play anything anyone's ever heard of.
Yeah, only the ones that when someone says, oh, it's one of those games, but not the one that you'd first think that people would want to be
yeah,
playing.
Exactly.
What are you recommending to us?
So I'm going to recommend to you Clone Wars. So this is the animated Star Wars TV show that is set in the 3 years between Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith.
That's episodes 2 and 3, right?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, cool. Of the prequel series. I'm recommending you season 1. I mean, I recommend all 7 seasons, but we'll start with season 1.
Get hooked on the first season first.
Yeah, yes.
Now, regular listeners to this show would know of Elliot's longtime stance of hating all things Star Wars, except for Rogue One.
I don't hate it. I just don't think they're that. I don't think they're that good, except for Solo, which is very good. But yeah, no, I don't hate
them.
Which
is a great
movie. I just don't think they're as good as people make out. But yeah,
which I think is interesting because I probably would have put myself in a similar category of being somebody who likes Star Wars since I was pretty young, but. It actually wasn't until I watched Clone Wars that I'd say I became a pretty big Star Wars fan. Like, this is the show that really made me love Star Wars.
Mm.
Maybe it can do the same for you, Elliot.
Let's hope.
Yeah, if anything can do it. I remember I've had a pretty similar experience with I don't know if you've seen this show, Georgia, but the show Young Justice, which is like, I've always been very blasé about the DC universe of superheroes, but watching Young Justice, which is just a great show, made me actually care for the first time ever about some of these characters that were basically just jokes before that.
Because I think Elliot actually recommended Young Justice to me after you recommended it to him, and I watched it a couple of years ago, and it was very much the same, like was just pretty much Marvel only, and then watched that and thought, oh, this is really, like these
it's
characters
actually
are great.
Interesting. Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
so I can kind
show.
Of see... I can see that trajectory happening again with the animated entertainment that actually gives you good characters in these universes that were kind of just jokes and memes beforehand.
Exactly. And I guess on that sort of same point, so the main figurehead behind Clone Wars is Dave Filoni. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he was basically handpicked by George Lucas, who really liked his work on the first season of Avatar: The Last Airbender. So that's kind of where he came from. So he worked on character and story for Avatar, and he also directed the 2 first episodes and the 2 last episodes of season 1, plus I would argue pretty much all the good episodes, so like the Blue Spirit, the Jet episode, and the Fortune Teller episode.
The Great Divide.
I don't know. He did not work on season 2, so he escaped that infamous episode.
Good on him.
So that's kind of, and he also has been heavily involved in The Mandalorian. So one of the executive producers on that directed the episode with Ming-Na Wen, who I know Elliot's a fan of.
Yeah.
From S.H.I.E.L.D.,
he
presumably.
He did the first design for Baby Yoda. So he's basically God to me.
Yeah, he's got a lot of good
Baby
cred,
Yoda.
Doesn't he? Yeah, damn.
Yeah. I guess he comes from a background of having done Avatar: Last Airbender, which is another animated show that has a lot of actual depth
Cool. Yeah, exciting. It's great to find people that have these through lines across all this different work that you love and use that as a, I guess, a barometer for, oh, I'm really going to like this show as well.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I guess getting onto why I'm recommending it. A little bit more background first. So there was that, the film, which probably a lot of people don't remember because it wasn't very good. It's a bit shit, really. There's that Clone Wars movie that came out in about 2003, maybe. I'm not sure.
I remember seeing it in the cinemas. That's about all I remember.
The fact that you remember seeing it, though, good. Past that bar, at least.
Vague memory. And I rewatched that recently, and there's not much to miss. Basically, all you need to take away from that, you don't need to rewatch that to watch the Clone Wars series. Basically, all you need to know is that there's a new character called Ahsoka, who is Anakin's apprentice, so he's Padawan. And there's also another sort of Force user called Ventress, Asajj Ventress, and she is Dooku's apprentice.
These are such Star Wars names already.
Yeah, they are. And basically, if you just know that those characters exist and they're going to turn up in the first few episodes of Clone Wars, then that's all you need to know about the movie.
Cool.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, you can give that a hard miss.
So what is it that you like about the show then?
I guess I already touched on the fact that this is the show that really made me go from somebody who just casually liked Star Wars to somebody who's a pretty big Star Wars fan. And I think the main reason is that it really expands on the whole Star Wars universe. I know there's a lot of books that do the same thing, but I'm just not much of a reader. So we'll go to a TV show instead. Firstly, it really expands on the characters. All the ones that you know, like particularly Anakin and Obi-Wan. And so it makes the whole kind of tragedy of Revenge of the Sith a lot sort of more meaningful and a lot more tragic to you as a viewer, as well as adding in a lot more characters. So like Ahsoka and Rex are probably the two big additions who basically not in any other Star Wars, and they're two of the main characters in this, and I think within the fan base have become pretty big favourites, as well as just other sort of more minor characters like Ventress and all those, and a lot of the other sort of Jedi who you vaguely see in the background in the films and just don't really ever get to know anything about. They all become like, recurring characters, and it's a show that doesn't focus on any one person in particular. It just kind of follows the war. So you get to see lots of different characters.
Yeah, I think you were... I was going to say, Jordan, I think you were explaining that to me like on Facebook the other day, that there's like, it's divided into little like groups of episodes. It's like classic Doctor Who, right? Where it's like groups of a couple of episodes is sort of an arc, and then there's a bunch of those each season.
Yeah, so it's a mix. Like some are just one-off episodes, but they do tend to have arcs that usually go for two or three, sometimes even four episodes that'll focus on one running plot. So when you put all those together, you essentially have like a small movie. So you get like a good mix of just, I have to apologize. There's one episode in season one that does star Jar Jar Binks. It is only one episode. It's not a three episode arc, but I'm still so sorry for it.
Is it really that bad? Jesus Christ.
It's really bad. I guess that's part of the, like the best thing is that you get to see all these characters, but that does occasionally involve Jar Jar Binks and C-3PO, unfortunately. So it's sort of a mix of just small little snippets of little things that happen, as well as like longer arcs that really expand on certain events.
They're going to keep trying to make Jar Jar Binks a cool and interesting character, huh?
They don't know. The thing is,
the internet already did that. We got Darth Jar Jar, and frankly, episodes 7 through 9 were too cowardly to actually go through with it.
They were.
To manifest that plot point.
Yeah, that's the thing. The internet fixed Star Wars, and Disney rejected them, and that's why the movies were bad.
That's the reason, yes.
So now that you are, a Star Wars fan, Georgia, what do you think is the... I've always been interested to hear this because the Star Wars fandom to me is always one of the ones that I've never really gotten. Like, I've never really gotten why people are so into it. And I'm curious to hear what it is you feel is the thing that makes you a Star Wars fan.
Like I sort of already touched on the characterization that gets built up when you look at things in more detail, like through Clone Wars. I just really like a lot of the characters. So I think they're interesting. You have the real, like, it's just a classic sort of tragedy with the fall of Anakin. But then he has his, like, redemption at the end, and there's just something so epic about that. And then all the characters around it, the fall of the Jedi and everything. It's just so epic. Just like Lord of the Rings or something, you know. It's just, which I'm also obviously a big fan of, and like Harry Potter, they just all kind of, yeah, just I love that epicness. I also think there's a lot of, it's a very unique, like it doesn't seem that way now because it's so like high profile, but it's such a unique world. Like you kind of got, it's the whole space thing, but it's also a bit of a Western feel to it. But then you've got the Jedi who are like these cool, like samurai type sort of characters. And then especially like in Clone Wars and the prequels in general, you have like this quite complicated political situation, which I just think it's such a rich world and all these funny looking aliens. And you've got the Outer Rim, which is, yeah, like all full of criminals. And then you've got this corrupt capital in Coruscant. And yeah, I just think it's like a really rich world that's just so easy to get so many different stories out of. Like, you know, you look at something like The Mandalorian, which is pretty grounded in season one. And then you've got these like huge epic movies as well. So I just think you can get so much out of the world as well.
Yeah, interesting. I'm excited to, yeah, because it's kind of one of the fandoms I've never really brushed up against that much. Like I've seen, I don't know, maybe half the Star Wars movies and shit, but I've never really gotten into the fandom because I've never really gotten into presumably any of the extended universe stuff. So I'm excited to finally give it a proper go and be like, all right, let's see what this Star Wars thing that everyone's talking about is actually all about.
Yeah, because it's definitely a level of like world building and characterization when you watch Clone Wars that you just don't fully appreciate from the films. And then when you go back and watch the films, you think, oh, wow, these are actually way better now that I know all this other stuff about the world.
it retroactively makes the movies better. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely does. And that's actually why I first did watch them, because I read that online and I thought, oh, yeah, like that sounds pretty interesting. Like that's an interesting sell for a show, to say that like this show will make you love the prequels, because at the time I didn't love the prequels all that much. I do now. So I thought that was sort of an interesting. Plus, you know, obviously one of the big things with something like Star Wars is for like a film, or that they always struggled with when they wanted to make a television show, like a live action one, is budget, because you've got all these special effects. Obviously having an animated show, there's just like no limit to what they can show. Like, so there's lots of big like epic space battles, sort of awesome lightsaber duels with very good action. I guess the most notable one is in the recent finale, which only aired sort of last Monday, so May the 4th, Star Wars Day. The episode before that, actually, I think it was the penultimate one. They had a lightsaber duel between Ahsoka and Darth Maul, who, it's a spoiler if you haven't seen Solo, but I know Elliot's the sort of the only one he's seen, but he does come back. And they have a duel, and they actually motion captured it. So So the guy who plays Darth Maul in Phantom Menace, and a woman who was the person who did the fight scene in The Mandalorian with the armorer. So those two did a motion capture of that fight, and it's just a really good fight. It's just so well done. Like it looks very sort of realistic. So it's very good action, and it does actually have a finale. So it's a show that it has three finales. It's kind of like Futurama.
It's come and gone a few times.
Yeah, so it had a finish. It was always on Cartoon Network, finished there. And then they sort of finished with another sort of half season on Netflix in about, I think that was 2014. And then, yeah, just this year, Dave Filoni, with all his new power from being so awesome, managed to get the get permission to do one last season this year. So it only just finished the other week.
And it's confirmed, like, that's it. It's been axed.
It's done.
Yeah. Well, it finishes. The finale that just aired is, like, during Revenge of the Sith. So it's during the film, but just focusing on other characters, like, who aren't in the film, like Ahsoka and stuff. So they can't really continue it, or it won't really be in the Clone Wars.
It'll be something else instead. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's definitely finished.
Interesting.
And it actually, because I know Elliot really likes to have series that have a finish. He doesn't like things that don't end.
Well, yeah, things that go on forever and then kind of, you know, peter out is a bit, sad.
But he does still watch Supernatural, so it's kind of...
But that's about to end. That series has had so many finales.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like 40 for the price of one.
Yeah. No, we all know Supernatural finished at season 5.
Yeah.
You can't convince me otherwise.
That's the correct state to be in. I celebrate the fact
that it's gone too far. Yeah. He's lost to it now.
More little thing I do need to mention. There's two episodes that are out of chronological order in this season, just to be aware. I'd still just watch them in order, but episode 16 actually happens before the film. So it sort of happens before the start of the season. It's like a flashback, essentially.
Right.
And episode 22 actually is set in like the middle of season 3 for some reason, but you won't have watched beyond season 1. So that's the last episode of the season, actually. Sort of,
so
they
strange.
Cram a lot in between that second last episode and that last episode. They cram in a season and a half. So just a forewarning.
Okay. That's bizarre. That's I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, I look forward to talking about that in a fortnight once we've seen
it. If you do end up watching more of the season, or the series, sorry, definitely look up the chronological order, because for the first 3 seasons there's a couple of jump arounds, which I didn't realize until I was watching it, and I'm thinking, I was in season 3 and I'm like, this guy died. Like, I'm sure he died. Then I looked it up and he was dead, but I was watching it out of order.
Presumably you're watching it in the order they aired, but they just have weird chronology for some reason.
It's only the first 3 seasons for some reason. I think probably they just came up with some other stories they wanted to tell, and just for whatever reason, like, it didn't fit in. Mm. So they had to have sort of ones that were set elsewhere.
How funny.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll definitely have to talk about that in a fortnight.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I'm pretty excited to dive into it. Like, yeah, I'm excited to finally get my hands around the Star Wars fandom.
Yeah.
Good. Yes, okay. I'm excited for you to hopefully enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back to talk about at least season 1 in a fortnight.
It's Modern Elliot here. Imagine a 2-week time skip happening right now.
Hello and welcome to Media MD, your fortnightly Doof Network dose of media that you have somehow missed. I'm Ruben Morehouse.
I'm Elliot Diebold.
And we are joined again by our special guest to talk about Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Hi guys, thanks for having me again.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, Georgia, we would normally do a plot summary, but this is an anthology, and so I don't know if it's worth doing. I guess the plot is just there's one of them Star Wars going on, and each episode of the Clone Wars basically just focuses on a different bit of the Star War.
Yeah, it's it's interesting though. It's not like I'd call it like soft anthology, because there's through lines and there's lots of recurring characters, but it's definitely I don't know if I've quite seen something like this where it's definitely built to be like a Saturday morning cartoon where you don't really have to worry about watching it in order. That said, there, I think Georgia mentioned in the prescription, there are like these groups of like, you know, 3 or 4 episodes that will form a bit of an arc, which, you know, clearly you kind of need to watch those in order to fully understand them. But there's so many places where you could just jump in and pick up the show without needing context.
Yeah,
definitely.
Absolutely. I guess the loose plot threads are, we have Anakin Skywalker, who is a Jedi Knight, and his Padawan, his apprentice.
Sorry, I'm just going to stop you there, Ruben. Wait, has anyone not seen the Star Wars prequels? Like, it's between...
I haven't seen the Star Wars prequels, Elliot.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's weird.
I've seen the original trilogy, and I've seen two of the recent trilogy, and I've seen the holiday special. I haven't seen any other Star Wars thing.
The holiday special? That's an interesting choice.
Yeah,
it's because Elliot made me watch it for MediaMD one time.
That explains it then, yeah.
But yeah, I had never seen any of the prequels, so I kind of had an interesting vibe of this where I didn't know anything about the Clone Wars. I think the only thing I knew going in was that Anakin turns into Darth Vader over the course of the prequel, spoiler, I guess. And also, and this is something that I'm surprised no one else figured out in the show, Palpatine is clearly evil and turns into the Emperor, right? Like, he's clearly evil. And nobody seems to get it. He's so clearly evil. I mean, it didn't come up in the show because I guess this was before, or like, chronologically before he turns into the baddie. Darth something, Sidious maybe, is that right?
Yeah, that is right.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Okay, good. But yeah, he's so clearly designed to look evil.
Oh yeah, he's got like the dark shadows around his eyes, like the creepy smile.
Yeah.
I think the show, to its credit, it does manage to hold back just enough so that he doesn't ever really act evil that we see.
Mm.
Yeah, we've never seen, I think there was one scene in the first season. I've watched the entire first season. I didn't watch any of the further stuff yet. But there's only, I think, one moment in the first season where a character that I think is Darth Sidious is talking to Count Dooku, but we don't see him enough to be like, oh, it's Palpatine. Mm. Like, it's clearly they're acting as though the audience doesn't know that that's Palpatine.
Yeah, exactly. They are sort of pretending that you're watching this between episodes 2 and 3. Which is like when it's set. I agree. Like, there's definitely like, I was expecting him to be acting like a maniacal villain sometimes because of the character design. Because as you said, like, you see the character design, you're like, well, that's an evil person.
He's clearly a baddie.
But they managed to hold off of actually doing that. And that was one of the things I quite liked is I think it would have, they really would have overdone it if they'd been doing it. It would have been like, oh no, we can't let that happen to the Trade Federation. And they're like, everyone looks away and he fucking does like the Monty Burns, like, you know, finger
thing. Yeah, totally. There are a few episodes where plot points revolve around like there's moles or someone's got information that they shouldn't have. And it just seems like I know in my heart, oh, Palpatine's probably just fed some information to the other side here.
Mm.
But I actually really liked that it never became something vital enough to focus on, that it was just kind of a background bit.
That would be a really hard line to walk, because if you were trying to like make it so that it was Palpatine who did it and they were looking for the person, it's a plot thread they wouldn't be able to do because that happens in the third movie that they discover it. Yeah. So like it'd have to be something that just went nowhere. So they just seemed to avoid it, which was definitely the right call.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I agree. I think they knew that had already been, that's a big part of the film. So they just kind of decided to focus on everything around that instead, which is definitely the right move.
Yeah. Just as well, because I wanted to bring up the anthology or soft anthology nature of it.
Mm.
It's so interesting because, as I said, I haven't seen anything like it, and it's both a strength and a curse in so many ways.
Yeah, agreed.
Because it's like I really struggle to get invested in a lot of the characters and stuff. Or even the plots of individual episodes, knowing that they just sort of get tossed away in next episode.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, that made it so much easier. Like, I was just able to put this on, you know, when I needed something to watch, when I wanted something on in the background while I was cooking dinner. Like, I was just watching this in so many different circumstances, and I found it very bingeable because it was so digestible because there's no pressure of actually really needing to follow it too closely.
Yeah, yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think in terms of characters and getting attached, it is hard. I feel like it's not until quite a few seasons in that you start to, when the characters have recurred enough times, that you start to actually care about them. But then at the same time, you get to see this really wide range of different characters who, like, and you care more about the side characters than you would normally because you don't have kind of super set protagonists. So I did kind of like that aspect.
Yeah.
Of it. But yeah, I agree. It's it's good and bad. It's just kind of different.
It's a really good point that one of the other strengths is they get to explore a lot of other characters. Like
the first episode is a really bad example, but for some reason it's jumping in my mind, like how it's the Yoda episode.
I didn't think that was a very good episode.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a terrible episode, but it's a great example of how they can just focus in on a new character. Let me give you another
example, because I found the more standalone an episode was, the more I enjoyed it, especially the episodes that revolved around, that really focused in on a group of clone soldiers.
Yes.
The clone soldiers were by far my favorite characters in this. I found they were always so interesting as characters. And there was one episode especially, which was called The Hidden Enemy, which is one where they find out that one of the clone troopers is like a mole working for Ventress, who is a Padawan to Count Dooku. And the whole episode is basically, I mean, there's a B plot of, I think it's Obi-Wan and Anakin going to fight Ventress. But the main plot of the episode is these two clone troopers trying to figure out who is the mole within their organization. And it was so compelling to me. Like, anytime clone troopers took front stage, I just loved the episode. There's one in Ryloth towards the end of the season where they kind of walk around with a little girl that's like really, really engaging. There's an earlier one where they have to kind of defend a guard outpost because there's a fleet coming in and they need to kind of warn the Senate that an attack is being made by the Separatists. And all these clone trooper focused episodes, I just was like enthralled by. I absolutely loved them.
I completely agree. Although the trooper focused ones are a bit of a monkey's paw because they're so good, but at the same time I'm like, oh, it sucks that this is a kid's show and they can't go really, like, I could just watch a show that properly explores the concept of like clone identity and all that.
Yeah.
I guess very mild spoilers. I chewed through this. And the opener to season 3 actually has the ones from that outpost episode.
Wow, you got really far.
Yeah, I did. But so that outpost one where they were defending that outpost from the fleet, those clones come back for another one. And I was amazed at how much I was like, oh my God, it's these clones. That's fives and you know, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Oh, just you wait, Elliot. Yeah, it's probably not surprising, but as the series goes on, they do focus more and more on the clones probably. And like you get to know certain clones. And I really like that in that, you know, in the films, the clones are just clones. And they're all one and the same. And you don't really care about them at all. And then in this show, they manage to, you know, that's the one thing I do like about the pilot is that they establish really early on that, you know, the clones actually are separate people. And they start characterizing them pretty quickly. And even though it's different sets of clones pretty much every episode, you start to realize that they all have names, have got different personalities.
Yeah.
There are definitely recurring ones, like Rex obviously being the main one.
Yeah, Rex was my favorite character in the entire show so far. I absolutely love Rex. And like, he's great.
Yeah, and there's particularly the end of season 5, I think it is. So, like, the first finale that they did is very, like, clone-centric. It's all kind of, like, pre-Order 66 stuff and really focuses in on, like, Rex and Fives and Jesse and all those guys.
Right.
And the finale as well, like, the main finale as well, is very much just, like, Rex and Ahsoka. So, yeah, the clones definitely make their way front and center as the series goes on as well, which I think was a really good idea because, I agree. They're so interesting because it's like, it's just that crazy idea, you know, they've just been bred for this one purpose.
Mm.
But they're like humans.
And like, what the hell do you do with that? Yeah.
One of the later ones I saw was the one set on Kamino where it actually starts to dive into them training. And that was the first one that started to touch more deeply on these ideas of like what is the mentality of being a clone that was bred to be a pawn in a war.
Especially after the war, like what do you do when the war is over? Like they're trying to achieve one thing, which is to finish the war, but then what does that mean for them because they have no purpose after that?
I can see why a lot of them would end up on board with Order 66 to be part of the Empire.
So this is something that I didn't know about beforehand since I hadn't watched the prequels, but I should reveal that this show got me to do something I never thought I would do, which is care about Star Wars lore. So I was Googling like Order 66 and Palpatine and stuff to try and understand the things that I'd missed. So correct me if I'm wrong. Order 66 was this order that Palpatine snuck in amongst a group of like emergency kind of, reactions where if the Jedi go rogue, the clone troopers are authorized to kill them, but it doesn't have as many protections as other orders, and Palpatine kind of used it to turn the clone troopers on the Jedi and wipe them all out. Is that right?
It's something like that.
I don't remember all those details, but like definitely the bear is, yeah, he tells a bunch of clones Order 66, and that's when they like kill off all the Jedi and only a handful survive.
Mm.
Yeah, and Clone Wars sort of reveals why it is that that is so easy to do, because you've probably noticed the clones are like extremely loyal.
Yes, I was assuming that was something the show would have to address at some point, because where I'm up to, I cannot see most of these clones just turning on the Jedi.
Yeah, I can't see Rex turning on Ahsoka or something, right? Like,
that kind of comes up in sort of seasons 5, 6, 7.
I'm excited to see where Ahsoka goes, because I've got to admit, I was a little disappointed with what I've watched, because she hasn't really had much of a character arc, and it's kind of like she's the only main character who can't. Like, Anakin and Obi-Wan are kind of in a holding pattern, because they have to be as they were at the start of episode 3, so they can't really do
they can't change too much.
Yeah. And so I was kind of really expecting Ahsoka to be the character that the show was like, hey, here's a character we can do stuff with. And I'm like two and a bit seasons in, and they haven't done shit with her yet. And I was just like, oh, like I hope this changes as the show goes on. Because it sounds like, you know, I've been on the wiki page for it, and you know, it's been cancelled and on hiatus a bunch of times. So I assume it's very different in those later seasons. So hopefully that changes.
Yeah, because it's funny. Like, I mean, I watched it a few years ago and then rewatched it recently, and I had kind of that same thought. I was in the first 3 seasons, and I was like, Ahsoka's probably my favorite character in this, and she's like hardly even been in it, sort of, you know, compared to what I remember. Like, I remember her being like, she's so pivotal, I guess, later on, but probably now that I think about it, doesn't really start getting more focused on until probably season 4.
It's definitely the Anakin and Obi-Wan show mostly, I'd say, at the start.
Yeah.
I found Anakin so interesting. It was kind of like, because he's, like, he was such a shit Jedi in the way that the Jedi Order has all these tenets of, like, you must not form attachments, like, blah, blah, blah.
Wait. We'll get to that in a second, I guess.
Let me finish a positive thing before we talk about the Jedi. Yeah. The Jedi Order has all these stricture and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, very good rules that make a lot of sense.
And he's a very, like, emotional and has no temperament for a Jedi. And it works out for him in all these ways. And, like, just thinking, like, this knowledge that he becomes Vader in my head was kind of disappointing, because I was like, I would love to see Anakin turn against the Jedi Order, but not in the way I saw it done in the movies. Like, I'd love to just see Clone Wars Anakin go evil and be against, like, Obi-Wan and all of them. Like, that is so much more interesting to me than seeing, you know, 30 years down the line, Darth Vader, who's just been so corrupted, he's completely different.
Because the thing is, he wouldn't go evil. He just would have a good point that the Jedi are not a good system, and he wants to put a better system in place. And yes, that means he has to be against potentially, you know, Obi-Wan or Ahsoka, but, like, not join the Separatists, because the Separatists are also pieces of shit, but just be better than the Jedi, because the Jedi are terrible.
It's like, this is just such a good point, and there's just, I can't really go into what I want to say without being massive spoilers. Yeah. But that's so true.
Can we talk about how terrible the Jedi are?
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
They're genuinely the worst, and I hate them all so much. Like, I guess Obi-Wan is the one who gets the main focus of this, but...
I mean, there's a reason there's like 3 Sith and hundreds of Jedi, and they still manage to lose. And it's because... Oh, my God. Yeah.
Which actually one of the things I really like about the show, because I think, you know, you had the original trilogy and the Jedi were like these past mysterious people who were just apparently really, really awesome and I guess pretty idolized. And then, you know, in the prequels you go back and the whole point is that the Jedi have actually, by that end point of the war, have actually become pretty corrupt. Like, they're very bureaucratic, they're really political. They're completely detached from the common person. They're all sort of nice people, but they just like don't really, instead of, you know, their whole role was supposed to be protecting just the lay people from like criminals like Hondo.
Yeah.
But instead they're like buddies with Hondo because they're just like, oh, well, you know, we've got to go pick on Dooku instead, so we don't really care about your piracy. It's like, well,
yeah,
isn't that your job? Aren't you the police? Like, but they just aren't you meant to care about these things? And yeah, and they kind of, again, they go into it more in the later seasons, but just the fact that the Jedi actually by this point where you're watching Clone Wars, they're not really doing their job at all.
Yeah.
It's sort of really interesting to watch because you still sort of, as individuals, you don't hate them. Like, you sort of, they're all nice and you like them. They've still got all these admirable qualities.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're just sitting there like, what are you doing?
Yeah. My read was kind of that they're just so weighed down by bureaucracy. And maybe it's an unfair read because they do have Palpatine in charge of them, who is clearly not, like, in the interest of doing good for the for the Jedi. But that, like, there's an example, one of the early episodes, which had a number of problems because it centered around Jar Jar and 3PO and Padme, I liked.
Oh, God, what about
I actually didn't hate Padme as much as I was expecting to.
The holy trinity of bad, that episode. Like, Jar Jar, C-3PO, right, and Padme. Right. I was just like, why would you do this to the audience? That's just unfair.
Yeah, so this is an episode where they go to a planet where one of Padme's friends, like her dad's friends when she was growing up, has requested her help, and he kidnaps her and tries to sell her or like give her to the separatists in exchange for like food for his people, right? And the whole point is he has been unable to get any kind of assistance from the Jedi for a long time, and so he's kind of desperate to help his people. And eventually the episode resolves with he does the right thing, and then the Jedi are just like, all right, now we'll give you food. And I'm just kind of like, what the fuck is your problem, Jedi? Like, you teach people how to treat you in that the only way to actually get your attention is to kidnap a senator and then ransom them and then do the right thing and then hope that they'll just be like, all right, now we'll allow you to have some rations. Like, they're just clearly so shit at their job that I can't feel bad for them.
I think the other episode
people hate them.
Sure. It's sort of a similar thing. Was the one where they go to that? There's like that small moon where there's the native people, and there's that little asshole guy.
Yes.
And basically, the whole episode is like, you can't just go and kill these people because you want to. And then he's just shielded by all this bureaucracy. And like there's these two Jedi, like really powerful Jedi, just standing there, and they're like, oh, I want to stop him, but I just can't.
But I can't do anything. Oh, well.
It's against the Senate.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah. And it's like they're just going to let him kill all these people just because of bureaucracy. And you're like, that is clearly not your job.
It's actually the worst. I think this is the episode where I wrote down a note of just, is the Jedi Order intentionally negligent or just stupid? was a theme that came up in my notes a lot. I really, really hated the Jedi.
One question I had was, am I supposed to be on the separatist side this often? Because they obviously have their monstrous qualities, but there are so many episodes where the Republic felt more like an empire than a Republic. And I'm not trying to do it, because obviously empire is a loaded word in the Star Wars world, but, you know, like, they put all these restrictions on planets and punish them for not being members of the Republic in a way that just feels kind of tyrannical to me. And so, like, I could see the appeal of the Separatists, even though, you know, again, like, whenever we actually see Separatists, they're, you know, monsters and cowards. They're
villains, yes.
But that's because I feel like the show has to make it clear that they're the bad guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they actually do have an episode that directly addresses that later on where, this isn't too big a spoiler, but basically one of Padme's very old friends, as it turns out, is a senator in the Separatist Alliance and asks for her help with something or other. And they go there and she's just this like really nice lady. And basically Padme takes Ahsoka along to show her that it's not all black and white and that the Separatists actually have pretty valid concerns. Turns out their main concern is that the Republic is so bogged down by bureaucracy that they can't ever do anything. And that's why they separated. And you sit there and you get to the end of the episode, you're like, well, I'm a Separatist. Like, these guys are idiots. And the only problem with the Separatist Alliance is that they happen to be being led by a Sith Lord. And pretty much apart from that, they're kind of right.
Like,
if they didn't have like Dooku and Grievous and stuff, I think they would be, I would 100% be on board with the Separatists.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't remember if it's in season one, but there's the episode where they introduce the Alliance of Neutral Worlds, who are worlds that just want to stay out of the war. And the Republic is very aggressively like anti that policy. And
well, that basically is just Separatist thought, right? Like, don't want to be a part of the
Exactly. Republic. But that was one of the ones where I was like, they're so like, the Republic felt very controlling. They felt like they needed to conquer everything. Like, a world needs to be a part of the Republic, or like, you know, they basically hold it at ransom. They're kind of shitty.
The big problem that comes up related to that is that, you know, like, these neutral worlds, so I think in the one you're probably talking about is where Mandalore basically asks for the help of the Jedi, who are supposed to protect everyone in the galaxy, but because they've become tangled up in all the politics of the Republic, they refuse to help because, or they're much more limited in the help that they'll give because they don't want to, like, annoy the Republic. But they're supposed to be peacekeepers for the whole galaxy, so why won't they go and help these people who need help just because they're not a part of some political group? And you sit there and you're like, this is, what the hell? Like, why are the Jedi this way?
To move on to a different point, like, because I want to focus more on the positives, because there is a lot to like here.
But I don't know if that's a negative, because I'm actually surprised by how much it made the politics of the Star Wars universe, which is something that I'd always heard was terribly shit. It made it more engaging to me. Like, I was actually more engaged in the political conflicts now because I didn't really believe in either side. And so it was kind of like seeing both sides in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I think I touched on that in the prescription that, like, that's, I think, one of the big things that the prequels got really criticized for having all these boring politics. But after you've watched The Clone Wars, you're actually pretty interested in the politics. Like, they do a pretty good job of making it really interesting.
Yeah, I feel like I'd have a better basis for understanding it because, you know, it's been probably a decade since I watched the prequels. But I remember just not really understanding what was happening in the politics parts. And that was why I didn't like them so much. Now I probably have a better understanding.
It's just like, oh, this is the Trade Federation and then these funny-looking aliens. You're like, sure. And now you watch the Clone Wars, you're like, oh, now I actually know who the Trade Federation are. That kind of means something to me now.
Yeah, it made it feel real, right? Like, it felt like an actual world instead of just, here's one alien from Naboo and therefore, you know, you should listen to them, or some random thing that would happen in Star Wars.
Yeah, because I think Star Wars has always had a lot more to explore, and that's probably why there is so much expanded universe or whatever it's called now content to dive into, because, like, I think the movies just barely scratch the surface because they're too obsessed with the Skywalkers and Palpatines.
Yep.
I also want to touch on, this is probably my last beta to do with characters, the droids themselves. I was cringing so hard for the first four episodes. Every droid line, I was just like, oh, this is such bad humor. And then for whatever reason, from about episode five, they just turned it around, and they're fucking hilarious after that. The droid comedy is so good. Like, I was literally laughing out loud almost every time they're on screen after that.
I think it's just that they're so not afraid of death. So they'll, like, be in a fight and Grievous will be standing there and be like, oh, do this thing. And a droid will just make a wisecrack and Grievous will murder them because, like, of course he would. And they just will still keep doing it. Like, there's just so many of them. They can just do stupid shit and get murdered as a result and nobody really cares.
But they also, like, there are jokes built around them not wanting to die. Like, sometimes, I've watched it all so close together. I don't know if I'm quoting season two ones, but there's a bit where, like, three Jedi come in and there's, like, five droids and Grievous is running away and he's like, finish them. And the droids are like, but they're Jedi.
Yeah.
And Grievous is like, I don't care. And then they're just sort of like, oh, I hate this job.
I can't remember if, like, this one's from Clone Wars or Rebels or what, but yeah, there's one where it's like, have you ever actually killed a Jedi? Like,
yeah, that happens in season one of Clone Wars. Yeah, and they always just react so sadly whenever they see a Jedi. Like, they'll see a Jedi and they're just like, aw, and then they'll die.
Like, they're great. I would actually, I was just, hoping the whole time, like, as much as I love the clone episodes, I agree with you, Ruben, they're probably my favorites. I was really holding out for just like a comedy droid episode. Like, I just
I think
to watch
it wouldn't work. Droid shenanigans. I don't know if it would work. Yeah. No, I like the idea, but they're just so mindless. Like, they're such punchlines. I don't know. I do like that they always say Roger, Roger. It's very fun.
I'm a program. I'm an individual. Roger, Roger.
Roger, 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 Roger.
Again, that would be like another interesting thing to explore in a more mature version of the show. Like, the, because obviously you have the clones, and we've talked about all the psychology to explore there. Similarly, like, have the way they're opposed by machines that are also just sort of mass produced, I think could be something really interesting. Like, why do the separatists never actually have to fight? They can rely on droid armies. That's kind of interesting.
I would like to see a bottle episode where one clone and one droid are, like, forced to work together. Yes. That would be a cool idea for an episode.
Oh, that happens in Rebels. You'll have to make it all the way to Rebels.
All right. Got some catching up to do.
Rebels is on the list. Should we talk about, like, this show does a really interesting thing in that it sets itself up. It feels like it's a World War One or World War Two, like, sort of movie. Like, mm-hmm. I think it does a lot to borrow the aesthetic of coverage relating to probably more World War One. Like, it starts with this, like, you know, sort of old radio broadcaster. It reminds me of Legend of Korra. Did the same thing.
It was very Legend of Korra. I had the exact same thought.
But, like, the, you know, like, it's sort of the stuff, like, you have these generals with the Jedi. And first of all, like, this is a great use of, one of the things about, like, Jedi and the Force in Star Wars is you kind of have an excuse to have this small group of unqualified people be superpowered generals who are main characters because they are, they're literally superpowered. And then you have all the grunts, but, like, you know, for a universe that has, like, droids and lasers and, like, faster than light travel, nobody's invented cover yet.
They're so bad at fighting. Why?
And I think it's to lean into some of this, like, this World War One type stuff. Like, you know, it's the kind of, maybe it's like older than that, but, you know, they're not even doing trench warfare. Like, they all have to sort of stand up and form in a line, and it's just fucking dumb. But it sort of suits that whole vibe of, like, a bit of an old timey war.
I think they couldn't go into military tactics too much as well, because this is like a show that's meant to skew a little younger. And so it's like, you know, there were so many times I would see, usually Yoda actually, do some movement where I was like, no, you could just, like, use your telekinesis and resolve this situation immediately. But instead he just kind of stands there deflecting bullets for like 10 seconds before he does
it. Yeah,
anything.
They do a lot of that, don't they?
And I got annoyed at it at the start, but then I was kind of like, no, I shouldn't worry too much about the Jedi not min-maxing their powers enough, because this isn't meant to be that kind of show, right?
Well, I like this idea. Like, I guess I'm going to keep harping on about this, like, World War One type metaphor. But one of the things that happened there, if you look particularly at, like, somewhere like Britain, you had, like, a lot of people who were in the sort of upper class. They got just sort of made generals and sent off and were put in charge of a lot of people. And I see that in the Jedi, in that they were trained peacekeepers who have now been made generals in this war, and they're not super trained for that. And it's something the show touches on, but it's like, you know, they're these privileged force users, and they've just become generals and they're in charge of, like, you know, thousands of clones in their lives.
Yeah.
And there's that, I think it's one of the sort of last episodes, and basically the start of it focuses on Ahsoka, who I'm pretty sure at the time is like 14, and she's leading a mission, like you said, just because she's a Jedi, even though she's like a child. And she sort of gets a bit, you know, too into the moment and gets a bunch of clones killed and gets back and is like, oh my God, what have I done? Yeah. And yeah, it's like, this poor 14-year-old girl who's for some reason in charge of all these soldiers. And and some of the Jedi treat the clones as quite expendable, and then others like Plo Koon, you know, sort of don't. Sort of an interesting dynamic.
There have definitely been scenes where Anakin has run to defend Rex because it's Rex. It's like, no, that's a clone that I know the name of and I like him. Whereas others, it's kind of like, oh, you know,
just stay here and die.
Need to be made.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense because, I mean, it's the same with every other person, right? Like, you'd maybe run out and risk your life to save somebody that you know, but when it's just, like, some rando, you possibly wouldn't.
But that's why the clones are such a good metaphor for all this because, you know, like, they're just clones, right? And it's like they're kind of as faceless as you can get fighters. Like, it's something that's so rich to be explored, and the show does a bit of it, but, like, you know, I just wish I could see the like, M-rated version that does it even more.
Oh, totally. Because I think it actually does not a bad job of, like, 50% of the time the war seems pretty glorified and you're kind of like, oh, cool. And then they're just suddenly, like, out of nowhere, there'll be this moment where you just think, where it's, like, really sad and you suddenly realize that all these people have just died or and you think, oh, no, actually, it was pretty bad. Like, they do a really, like, a funny mix of the two.
Should we talk about the animations and the animation style and all that jazz?
Yeah, I thought we can cover some of the technical stuff as well. I thought it was all pretty good. There was nothing where I was, like, super wowed by it. But there was nothing where I found it lackluster either.
To add a bit of context, I actually watched the movie. I know Georgia said not to, and she was right. It was trash.
I'm not taking any responsibility for that.
No, that was all on me. But, like, the animation in it is, like, shocking compared to even the pilot episode, to the point where I'm pretty convinced that this was, like, a studio, and I haven't actually looked this up, but I wouldn't be surprised to learn it was, like, they formed, like, this Star Wars CGI studio that was going to make these TV show movies, and the Clone Wars film would have been their first product. And then from there, they're like, okay, we can do a TV show out of this because we've already got all the models and a bunch of animations and stuff. Because the animation quality was so much better, and it got better where I got up to by the end of, like, you know, season two. And I can see, you know, if season seven came out now in 2020, that's like 12 years later. Just based on what I know about, like, 3D animation and software and stuff, even with, like, a tenth of the budget, you could make something 10 times better now than you could in 2008. So, like, I imagine it's, like, 100 times better in season 7. But definitely in these first two seasons, you can feel, like, you notice things like there was clearly a bit of a premium on new models. Like, there's so much recycling of like, background characters or unnamed characters just because they want to reuse old models.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. The Jedi don't... There was one part in the end of season one where Mace Windu was doing some really, like, fluid motions. And I was like, oh, wow. Contrasting it to episode one with Yoda kind of doing these stunted movements, you can really feel it getting better even just over the course of season one.
Yeah, and by season seven, it's, like, obviously a lot better. But then the weird thing is that Rebels came out between a few of the seasons, and the animation in that is just, like, so bad. It's just really bad. I don't understand, because, like you said, I mean, I don't know anything about animation, but, yeah, it seems like it starts off pretty bad here, and then you can see it get better. And then for some reason they brought out this whole series in between that just has this shocking animation. I don't really understand.
Might have been a different team or something.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess, on a similar note, I've always enjoyed the aesthetic of the prequels. That was always the one thing I really latched onto in those first three is, like, I just thought aesthetically they were really good and by far my favorite Star Wars movies. I think I realized a bit more seeing it in CGI like this. It's because it's very similar to Ratchet and Clank. There's a lot of Ratchet and Clank style aesthetic to these series. And it's also organic. Like, one of the cool things is all the machines are so organic looking. Like, whenever they have tanks on the thing, they're like, they're built like giant beetles and stuff. Like, it's even the Separatists, who are like the more machine based and meant to be like evil and industrial side, have fairly curvy sorts of, like, everything's curves on all their designs. I've always really liked it in the movies, and, like, watching it here, I love how kind of, organic is just the word I'd use to describe so much of the aesthetic, and I've always really liked it. Space organic is the best.
Speaking of, somebody wrote on the Google Doc a little afterthought that, you know, Jar Jar Binks was just the worst, so annoying, but they really liked his outfit.
I think that was me.
Which of you was that?
Yeah, that was me. I really like Jar Jar. He's got this like tie, this like cool purpley tie that he wears all the time. And I was like, John, that's such a cool tie.
I was like, he's so annoying. I never once looked at his outfit, went back and was like, he is wearing a nice outfit, actually.
It's a cool outfit. He's got this, like, he wears, like, a vest and a tie, and he's just, like, he's got a radical style. I loved it.
Oh, yeah, no, I've got it up now. Yeah, with the matching sleeves and tie. Yeah.
Wait, no, that's the matching sleeves. I don't think I noticed. It was more the cool purple tie. It's not even a tie. It's like a, I don't know what it is, but it just kind of flows around while he's, like, doing his Jar Jar Binks thing, and I guess maybe that's just how I got through scenes with him, was just focus on how cool his outfit was and tune the rest of it out.
And try to figure out, like, how he's secretly a Sith Lord. That's how I get through them. I just try to
Sith moments. He is. Like, it's just, at the very least, he's an untrained, extremely powerful Force user.
It's it's insane that he is brought on missions. Like, they will bring him on missions especially to say, Jar Jar, stay in the car, don't do anything. Like, why did they bring it? Yeah. Why? I don't understand.
They should honestly just lock him in a cupboard. Like, he's so destructive. It doesn't make any sense that they bring him anywhere.
Yeah. I think he's good at, like, negotiating with aquatic creatures, maybe, and that's, like, it. I don't know.
I can't believe he's good at negotiating with anyone. And that's where all the, like, Sith stuff comes in, because, like, I think the thing for me is a lot of his, like, you know, it's meant to be that, like, klutzy physical humor stuff, but it's like, you know, so he'll trip over and sort of land on a gun, which fires a laser, which ricochets 3 times and kills the baddie. And it's just like, okay, you know, this has just happened 4 times in a row. It actually makes more sense to me if he's a Sith Lord than, like, if this is just meant to be, haha, like, stupid jokes. You know, I know that doesn't make sense, but I just, the more I watched of this.
No, it does. Jar Jar, I totally agree. It doesn't make sense for him to be that lucky that often. He has to be using the Force. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, like, I think it's just a thing you're not meant to read into, because he's just a dumb joke for kids. But, like, if you want to treat this show and the 3 movies as, like, a complete piece that actually you want to add up and make sense, he has to be some kind of Force user.
Well, wasn't he also instrumental in helping Order 66, like, slip into place? Like,
yes.
This was just my Googling.
Did you come across that in your reading, probably? Yeah, so he's the one who suggests giving Emperor Palpatine, or then, you know, Chairman or whatever, Chancellor Palpatine.
Chancellor, yeah.
Basically the power to just stay in office forever and ever.
Yeah. Again, another point in the Darth Jar Jar column.
Yeah. Darth Jar Jar is one of those things that it just, like, it starts off and you're like, haha, funny joke. And it's just, the more I've sat with it, the more I'm like, for many reasons, this is better. Especially with episode 9 fresh in my memory, I just can't help but think that if we were bringing back a character to be the villain for episode 9 of the movies, even past the whole haha joke thing of it being Darth Jar Jar, I think that would have been more satisfying to me than... like, what they ended up doing.
And bringing back Palpatine.
Definitely. Speaking of cool characters, it was kind of a really weird episode to end the season on, with that one where the senators were trapped.
Yeah.
It was such an odd ending. But how cool is Cad Bane? Like, the now, dude which one with the big hat. He kind of looks that Johnny Depp character from that movie, but he's got, like, looks like Rango, the cool voice, the blue skin and the red eyes and the big hat. He's cool. Yeah. I like Cad Bane.
Yeah, I really liked their whole group of banditos. The funniest part to me was basically they were so talented because they could just shoot things without missing, which everyone else in the Star Wars universe can't do. So they have this superpower of actually being able to hit what they shoot, and suddenly they can, like, take on the entire Senate.
That's very accurate.
It was great. I really liked it.
One of the character design in this is fun. Like, it's that aesthetic. Yeah. It's very good. I just really like the vibe of the prequels.
Yeah, and somebody pointed out on Reddit one time that when you compare the alien designs in Star Wars, when it was sort of under George Lucas versus when it's gone to Disney, like, Disney has just made up, like, no cool aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got BB-8, and that's a droid.
Yeah, but it's a circle instead of a cylinder, like all the other droids. What a twist.
That's all they've done.
They made the Porgs. Does that count?
Oh, yeah, the merchandise things.
The little puffin things.
From episode 8 with the milk, where Luke drinks the milk and they're around then.
Yeah.
The little penguin-like things? Is that what, am I thinking?
Yeah, yeah. Those bird things.
Yeah.
Okay. But yes, things like huts and the Twi'leks, which are this race that feature in the final four episodes of the first season. They just have this cool kind of like floppy horns, I guess. I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah, and they're the ones from the prison episode of The Mandalorian as well. It's the two Twi'leks.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like there were so many really interesting alien designs. A lot of like insectoid style aliens as well that were very cool. The robot designs I thought were pretty cool. Like Grievous was, there's this one episode where they go to Grievous's like house, I guess.
Yeah,
I love that episode. It's so weird. Like,
yeah, and he's just like monkey, like they chop off his bottom legs and he's just kind of monkey barring around for like 5 or 10 minutes of this episode. And it's the craziest thing. Yeah. I absolutely
And he's
loved
always like
it.
Scuttling around like a spider. And Grievous is awesome. He's just such a interesting character.
Yeah. Whenever Grievous switches from like loping, you know, humanoid mode to fucking crazy spider mode, it's just when you know shit's gotten real. Like he's a very fun design.
Yeah. And he'll be fighting with lightsabers and then, you know, there was this one bit where he was fighting and then, you know, he's got his lightsabers and he's like locked in combat and then just another arm comes out of nowhere and shoots somebody. Yeah. Like, fuck, Grievous, you're so cool.
It's funny because he's actually such a boring character, but he's like physically very interesting, which I don't think I've seen before. Like, you just want to watch him fight all the time.
Yeah.
I don't care at all about his personality.
Oh, and I like his voice. Like the
voice is great. Do you know actually the guy who does that voices all of the droids as well? And that's in the films and the TV show, I think. It's like the that's one guy.
Because I was going to say, like obviously it was different actors because the animated movie, I think, had pretty much all the same actors as the films. Like Samuel L. Jackson played Mace Windu in the movie. But he didn't in the TV show, and that was noticeable. Yeah. It actually took me a while to notice that it was not what's his name playing Obi-Wan in this show. The guy playing Obi-Wan in this show is a very good impersonator of
he's pretty good.
What's the name of the guy who plays Obi-Wan in the film?
Ewan McGregor.
His name.
Yeah.
How could you forget Ewan McGregor's
yes,
name?
Yes, I know. I know he's your obsession, but
I've been obsessed with him since that Alex Rider movie.
Yeah, I remember.
Listen,
oh my god!
But they have James Arnold Taylor play him in the show. That's actually the voice actor of Ratchet and Clank. So that's another connection to Ratchet and Clank.
There you go.
Fact. Huh. But yeah, like he does a very good Ewan McGregor impression. Like I barely noticed it wasn't him.
I thought all the voice acting was really good. Like I think it was probably of all the technical elements the one that I found the best. There was just so much good. Like emotive voice act. Even I don't know what these like. I don't fucking know what Hayden Christensen's Anakin sounds like because I've never watched the prequels. But I loved it. I loved his voice acting. I loved Ahsoka. I loved all of them. I especially loved. There's one where Phil LaMarr, who's a voice actor who played Hermes in Futurama, is like this Jedi who's I don't know what he is. He's also got
Kit
floppy
Fisto.
Horns. Kit Fisto. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
yeah,
loved
yeah,
it. He
yeah.
was so good.
Yeah, actually, another little fun fact, you know the prison episode of The Mandalorian where there's that guy who they end up shooting or killing? That's actually the guy who plays Anakin in all the animated stuff, like he voices him.
Okay.
It's like such a random little cameo that they gave him in The Mandalorian.
Watching this, after watching The Mandalorian, and you already said touch on this, I recognized a bunch of designs from The Mandalorian and even some of the new movies. In this show, like I hadn't realized that those were already established in the universe. Like it made me think even more of The Mandalorian. Like I don't know if I've talked about this on air, but The Mandalorian made me appreciate all like the original Star Wars trilogy, or it captured my imagination as a world like people talk about the original trilogy doing for them. Like I really loved The Mandalorian and the vibe it created, and I didn't realize how much of it was just sort of stuff that already existed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it is a rich universe, one that has so much more potential than the movies that I've seen give it.
Yeah, and I think the movies really don't touch on it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the movies are just there to tell the Skywalker saga or whatever.
And that's the most boring stuff, honestly. I don't know. Like, yeah. It's fine. It's just, I don't think it stands up.
It's good too, but...
Even Clone Wars, we're saying this would be even better if it was just focusing on the actual clones. Like, there's such a rich universe, and it's almost kind of wasted just focusing on these, Force users.
Well, the thing I liked most about the show, apart from all this clone stuff, was they would go to a different planet and just have an interaction with an interesting race of creatures. Like, the one we mentioned before where they go to, I think it's called Trespass. They go to this, like, moon, and there's this kind of race of Yeti-like creatures there.
Yeah, God, and they're cool.
Yeah, and it's a great episode because they just interact with this really interesting race of creatures, and they have a really interesting plot of trying to stop the Senate fucking over a native race of people, basically. Elliot, have you been converted to a Star Wars fan now?
I've got to admit, I'm keen to actually rewatch the prequels, which is something that hasn't happened since I was like 16. So, like, not yes, but not no.
Damn, that's impressive.
I definitely say, like, I always felt like it was a series of movies that weren't that great, but there was a lot of potential in the universe, and this is sort of, you know, it feels like they're actually using it.
Yeah, it fills up that gap. Mm.
Oh, good show. I loved it. It was great. Yeah. I'm going to keep watching it for
glad
sure.
Glad you guys liked it.
You know what I think I really liked about it? It did remind me of, like, Stargate or all those very episodic sci-fi shows. Like, there's something to just... There are a couple of episodes, like you said, that one you guys keep bringing up where they went to, like, the Yeti planet and they had the thing. I'm pretty sure there's, like, 6 Stargate episodes that do the exact same thing, where they end up on some planet, they meet an advanced culture, and then they find there's a primitive culture, and they have to stop the primitive culture getting oppressed. Like, they're all these sorts of common story tropes to a lot of these sci-fi shows that I obviously just, you know, it's my bread and butter, so I think that really helped me just get into this show.
Yeah, it's got that just kind of mix of they make you think about morality just enough to keep it interesting, but at the same time it's all...
Not enough to challenge me.
Not enough to challenge you too much, and so that it's still just so easy to watch. Like, you can just sit there and watch it all day and not get tired, emotionally exhausted.
There was one episode where that didn't work, or was it... Yeah, it was just one episode. And they go to this planet with these, like, monkey things, and George Takei shows up as a villain. And these monkey creatures are, like, completely non-violent, like, they're complete pacifists, to the extent that one of them at one point says, if it's our destiny to be destroyed in your war, so be it. And they're just going to, like, lie down and die. And I was like, I can't handle this. Like, I'm not on board with their morality right now.
No, I think that's the thing. One thing I really liked about that is that you find them so annoying, and you think, I never thought I'd be on the side who's like, yeah, fight, kill. But these things just make you want to scream, like, they're so annoying. And the whole thing is basically about the Jedi saying that you need to sometimes fight for what you believe, and you can't just roll over and die. And then the very next episode is the Trespass episode, where it's like the opposite, and the Jedi are standing there saying, you can't just walk around killing people all day.
You can't just fight for whatever you believe in. Gosh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's sort of funny because it's sort of like really, it's like whiplash between those two episodes. And I don't know whether it's like sort of just stupid or whether it was like a stroke of genius making you think about how, you know, there's a time and a place, or, you know, what. Like, it all changes depending on what situation you're in, whether it's the right thing to strive for peace or to fight for what you think is right. Or whatever. But I found that really funny, just having those two episodes back to back.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Anytime the Jedi's morality came up, it just drove me a bit mental, I think, just because they're so inconsistent in their terrible bureaucracy.
Yeah, which I think is supposed to be intentional. At least that's how I perceive it, because otherwise, it's just really stupid.
It's too sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Like, Jedi, whenever Jedi doctrine comes up where, you know, it's like, a good Jedi, it's almost always, I'm like, I'm sure I can find an example where you've said essentially the opposite.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
100%. Oh, man. All right, we've been talking about the show for a solid amount of time. Should we?
Yeah.
Do you have any other thoughts you want to talk about, Elliot?
No, I think. Yeah, Darth Jar Jar, it's a thing.
The highest credit I can give the show is it genuinely made me care about the lore of the Star Wars universe. So I think that's a pretty big win.
Yeah, I would have to say the same.
Should we rate it out of 10? What are you going to give it, Elliot? I'll let you go first, because otherwise you'll just copy me.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's pretty high. I know that the more I watch this show, the more I'm going to enjoy it, but I found so much of the Jedi stuff too frustrating in season one that I'm going to give it a 7, but I know I'm going to enjoy it more after I watch more. So a 7 for season one, and we'll see how we go as the seasons progress.
Yeah, I would definitely say, like, you know, I'm like 4 episodes into season 3 or something, and it's like I enjoyed season 2 a lot more than season 1. Yeah. So, like, if we were doing this and I was only one season in, it'd probably be more like a 7.5. But season 2 was a decent step up.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Pretty good.